When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. And what a week it is turning out to be. Wednesday is today, and it slipped right through my fingers, just buried in work. But I guess the lesson, well, there's a lot of lessons learned this week, and I'm going to have a lot to report on in subsequent episodes of Thunder Punch Daily. But the big one, the big reminder to me, and that I'll share with you, is that getting lost in the work is the greatest morale booster of all. I mean, when I say lost in work, I mean lost in comics work, of course. I don't even have time to get depressed or bummed out or feel ennui or like, what's the point? Because I got so much stuff to finish this week that I'm just in a constant state of panic. And I guess that adrenaline, that rush of fear of failure, does a lot to keep the bad feelings away. You just don't have room. There's no room in the brain. So I want to report a little bit on what's going on with this mini comic I'm working on, which looks like it's going to be titled Boulder and Fleet, Adventurers for Hire. Why have I settled on the title? Because I designed the logo today. So if I design the logo, that's the name. Giving myself only a week to finish this comic, I don't have time to really noodle with it and think about alternate titles. That's just the title. I got to get it done. As far as the art goes, it's almost done. What did I start this thing on Sunday or something? And here it is Wednesday. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, 4 days or so. And I've got most of the art done. In the lettering stage now, and that is proving to be a little bit more time consuming than I had anticipated, because as I said in the previous Thunder Punch Daily, not the one before this one, I wasn't doing the dialogue at the thumbnailing stage, and normally the thumbnails I spend the most amount of time on, because I like to do the dialogue at that stage, figure out all of the verbal beats of everything. And it also helps me. I mean, that's where I do 99.9% of the writing of the story. And when I say writing, I don't mean just figuring out what happens, but figuring out everybody's motivations, how they express their motivations, how they express their inner characters, and all that stuff that comes through in dialogue and moment choice. But I didn't do that this time. And I've talked before on some art and stories about the way I approach dialogue in writing. And when I'm doing the first round of thumbnails, which is all I did for this one, I usually don't know exactly what's going to be said at that point. But I have a feeling, I have sort of a sense of a rhythm that's happening with the dialogue. I've described it thusly. I'll know that it goes something like, I know that sounds dumb, but that's really how it sounds to me. I hear like this kind of muffled rhythm of talking going on without knowing exactly what is being said. So I penciled and inked the pages with only that in mind this time, without really a clear idea on what exactly is going to be said. So on page 2 of this story, let me bring you up to speed real quick on what the story is, because I want to use this to build a point as to what my big discovery was in doing this comic so fast this week. The story is about a bear and a bird who are adventurers for hire, and they roll into a town. Very simple story. The town's in trouble. It's being the populace is being pushed around by some petty tyrant, and a conflict comes out of that, and our heroes fight for a little bit, but the tide turns when the townspeople realize that they can get involved too. And so it ends with the townspeople chasing out the bully. Again, very straightforward, simple story. And the real struggle, and I blogged about this today on comicsaregreat.com/blog. The real struggle was coming up with the theme. What is going to... Actually, this was a couple days ago. I blogged about this now. What does the story mean? How do I keep this from being just a simple Wild West tale of rolling into town and solving a problem? And so I came up with this idea for the villain. I figured he would be the vehicle through which I would express the theme, being the guy who is the antithesis of what the point I'm trying to make with this story. Okay, so if the big idea is that, for lack of a better term, pretending that you are the person who is the beleaguered, tired old person who just loves this thing so much and you know what's best. That's the greatest disguise to through which to deliver the most vicious sneers and actions, okay? And so I thought this would be my villain. He's this guy who professes to really care about the town, and God help you if you profess to know any better than he does about what's right for the people. As I was dialoguing it, I realized there wasn't physical room to fit that dialogue in to express that about the character. There just wasn't room. So it's funny because I found myself kind of in a panic going, well, what is the theme then? Where's my point? So this doesn't just turn into an action story with no takeaway other than bad guys are bad. Well, as I said, the story ends with the townspeople sort of rising up against the bad guy and chasing him out of town. And what precipitates their turn when they realize they can get involved is when the little bird gets involved. Little bird is, it's early on in the story, I wrote in a little scene where the big bad is laughing at the little bird saying, you're not a warrior, you can't possibly be of use to us. And the bird gets frustrated by this and that, and then the bear, you know, gets frustrated, and that's what's kind of, it begins the fight. You'll see it when the pages go up. But at the end, the bear gets taken down, and it's the bird who decides that enough's enough, I'm going to get involved, and the bird hits the bad guy in the face, little tiny bird, doesn't really do any damage, but that's what inspires all the townspeople. Well, if this little bird can do it, we can do it too, and then that's what turns the tide. So in other words, I had already plotted a story where heroes inspire the general populace to believe in themselves. But I didn't know I was doing that until I got to the dialoguing stage. I wrote it, and I wrote it subconsciously. You know, I was just trying to get, to quote Ron Friedman again, when you're in it, you're just trying not to drown, right? And that's all I was doing. I wasn't trying to construct any kind of tale about heroic inspiration. But there it was, right in front of my face. And letting myself sit on it for a couple days while I just plowed through the art, that theme revealed itself to me in the story. So I wrote it. It was there, but I wasn't aware it was there until I found myself painted into a corner with the dialogue going, I don't have room to express what I wanted to express to this villain. So it's going to look to ostensibly like he's just the bad guy and that's all there is to it. There's a little bit of dialogue in there where he expresses that he knows what's best, but he comes off as more menacing than I had originally anticipated. Just again, it was a situation where I just didn't have the physical room in the panels to fit the dialogue I wanted to originally. But there was this situation where now I had an opportunity to go back to page 1 and 2 and write in a little line of dialogue, sort of foreshadowing this theme of inspiration. And so on page 1, I wrote a little bit of snappy going back and forth between the bird and the bear. And the bird is saying, when are we going to make more money? I'm hungry. And we're adventurers for hire. After all, let's find an adventure so we can get paid. And the bear says something to the effect of, there's more to this job than cash. And then the bird says, and now this is funny because I wrote in a panel where the bird is leaning back and closing its eyes and placing one wing on its chest like it's reciting something. I didn't know what I was going to write there. I had no idea. It was a sound beat. He was going to say something sarcastically to the bear. And that's all I had. But this was the perfect opportunity to go back and write this line where he says, ah, yes, the role of the hero is to inspire the populace and blah, 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 phooey. There we go. Now, the bird is the main character of the story, who is the one who undergoes the change or precipitates the change that needs to happen in my to turn this tale into a story where there's a point being made, where I've laid down the groundwork that he doesn't believe it's the hero's job to inspire, yet he is the one at the end of the story who inspires the public. And now I feel 1,000 times better about this little mini comic. I mean, it's just been this fun little experiment. I didn't have terribly high hopes or aspirations for this thing, But by just trusting my judgment, and this goes back to this whole thing that I was driving at about mini comics in the two episodes ago, and you'll hear it in next week's Art and Story, is it's, for me, it's all about just trusting yourself and getting lost in it and finding the story in an organic way and not trying to turn it into this your comic from the ground up 7-part plan that if you do part one, part two, and part three, you'll have a story. Not that that's what we said in Your Comic from the Ground Up, but I do suspect sometimes that by breaking it into that 7-part series, I've opened the door. And I'm the one taking blame for at least most of it, taking the blame for this potential of misleading people into thinking that there is a rigid structure to writing when sometimes it is so back and forth. And we said that throughout the Your Comic from the Ground Up series. It is really a back and forth process. I thumbnailed it. I quote unquote wrote it on Sunday. Been penciling and inking it for the last couple days. Only today, when I got down to do the actual dialogue and lettering on the page, did I find the real beating heart of the story. And it was there all along, but I didn't know it was there until I stopped and looked at it. So there's my big lesson for me that I learned today, is that it's not the end of the world if the story goes in a direction that you didn't anticipate. I wanted it to be one thing, but it turned into another, but it's equally good. And I'm also learning that I can actually crank out a comic in a week. This thing will be done by Friday. I feel extremely confident that that's going to happen. I only got a couple more pages to letter, design a cover, and it's ready to be put online. So the only thing that's going to stop me now from making my Saturday deadline is the fact that I actually have... Saturday is slated as a non-work day. I've got something else that I got to do all day. And there's some post-production in terms of making the JPEGs to put it online. But the work itself, the comic itself, will be finished by then. And I'm gonna do everything I can. I'm going to pull some late nights to make this thing happen by Saturday night. So, yeah, I guess you guys can pay attention to Jersey on the Twitters or comicsaregreat.com for news on that, if you're really interested, that is. So who am I? I'm Jersey Droz. Those sites that I mentioned, that's where you can find me. And thank you very much for supporting us in this project. We really couldn't do it without you. I have no other news or anything to point at beyond that, I don't think. Other than, I'll be making some more new, some more observations and news in the days to come about my prep for the Ignite talk that I'm going to be doing on February 9th in Ann Arbor. I'm pretty sure they're going to stream it. I'm going to find out for sure if they will. But at the very least, it's going to be recorded, so you're going to get to see me either pass or fail at doing a 5-minute presentation on why I think comics are so great. The list of presenters was just released on the Ignite website. Just do a search for Ignite Ann Arbor if you want to find it. And it turns out I'm the opening speaker. Even more, when I found out about this, I was terrified. And I was like, oh, great. I'm the one kicking this thing off. And Ann turns to me. She's like, no, this is terrific, because now you're setting the standard. Oh, good. I'm setting the standard. So when I fall on my face, everybody's going to look that much better. So... okay, I will be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. Thanks again, everybody. And until then, remember...
in today's episode, Xanthor committed a crime. But when he was given a chance to make up for it, he came through with flying colors. You know, it's important to give our friends a chance to make up for their mistakes. Of course, if they continue to do wrong, we might want to think about whether we really want them for a friend or not. But many wrongdoers do see the error of their ways. All they need... is a second chance. Everybody deserves that.